Peace be with you. This is A Word on the Word, recorded live at St. Gregory the Great, the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, USA, for the second week of Advent 2006. I'm Gregory Wensek.
First winter snow outside my window. Feels like that time again to me.
The mistletoe, a Christmas show, and the lighting of that famous Christmas tree, yeah.
People are shopping for their loved ones and making plans for a Christmas feast. But it all goes by in the blink of an eye,
and then we have to wait another.
Music is from music.podshow.com. If every day were Christmas, it's Pod Safe for Peace. Again, from music.podshow.com. Welcome again to A Word on the Word, and we're getting right now to the homily for the second week of Advent. We have the homily from Deacon Dan this week. If you're interested in the readings for the week, you can find those at verbumdomini.com. But now, to help us overcome Korsakoff's psychosis, here's Deacon Dan.
As we begin. begin this second week of Advent, I can begin to feel my life picking up speed. And along with this, I'm frequently reminded of things that I've forgotten to do. Recently, I came across an interesting term for a condition that I might be sharing with millions. It's called Korsakoff's psychosis. If this term is not familiar to you, if it wasn't to me, let me reduce it to several simple words. Basically, it's a fancy name for short-term memory loss. I say I know someone who has that. Those of us who do have it are unable to hold on to a memory of some new things, like instructions from home, and we move blissfully along without a shred of guilt until someone, as in white, confronts us with the list again. The reason I picked up on this term is because a mild form of this condition has a way of being shared by many of us this time of year. For some very real reasons, some of us have a hard time remembering what it is we'll soon be celebrating. Here's a little example of what I mean. If we ask a number of young children who they're waiting for during this season of Advent, there are always several who proudly and loudly declare, Santa Claus! I wouldn't be surprised if some adults would answer the same way. Some of us seem to have a bit of memory loss about the true meaning of Christmas. You know, there's this jolly round guy in a red suit who sometimes squeezes himself down our chimney on Christmas Eve, and he brings us gifts from his sled, which is pulled by 8 reindeer, and it's led by another one who has a shiny nose. And Frosty the Snowman comes alive on our TV, and he's not just like we're alive. Sometimes we have a little manger scene with everyone wearing red and green clothes. Now, before you tune out on this because you know where we're going, let me say that shopping and gifts and decorations and parties are a wonderful way to share the holiday with our family and others. But will we be giving equal time to the holy day? As a grandfather of a half dozen active and anxious children, I share much of those festivities with them, and I delight in seeing them enjoy it. And in all fairness, store clerks need the work, and the economy needs the boost that the season brings each year. But is there life after the mall? The season of Lent, of Advent, cries out for equal time. The church pleads with us to share the holiday with the holy day. Amidst all the time, the effort, and the expense of preparing for this wonderful feast day, our weeks of Advent, prayer, and waiting remind us over and over again that Jesus is the reason for the season. Maybe I'm just getting older, but I'm afraid that with each passing year, as our society grows more secular, it's developing a mild form of Korsakoff's psychosis. By pushing the real and original meaning for celebrating Christmas into a corner or into the background, it should take only a moment for anyone to stop and recognize that the word Christmas, not Xmas, comes from two of the most meaningful words in history, Christ and Mass. We Christians don't need any more presents, as in gifts. We need to recapture our awareness of the presence, as in nearness, of Christ in our lives. When we hear St. John the Baptist say, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, it isn't the Lord's path that need to be straightened out. It's the path in our own lives he's talking about. Some of our crooked ways may include poor attitudes and habits that have crept into our lives without us even really recognizing them. These can sometimes show themselves as how we let misunderstandings and hurts go on and on. How we sometimes keep quarrels alive because we can't put our pride aside and end them. How we often pass people we know without acknowledging them out of some silly spite over something in the past. How we let someone's heart ache because we won't offer them a word of encouragement or appreciation. If we would realize that our time is short, I think that many of us would swallow our pride and do the right thing. My prayer this Advent season is that we all make an effort to straighten out any of these paths that we recognize. So, a question we're asking is, what exactly and where exactly does Christ rank in the things that are most important for us this Advent season? I don't mean how he ranks in the way we think about Christ. I mean, where will he be on our list of priorities and activities over the next 2 weeks? For example, does Jesus rank ahead of the New York Giants? Or our children's gift list? Or that flat screen TV we've been secretly wanting? Or selecting just the right outfit for that holiday party? Let me suggest a few thoughts that could help make our path straight before the Lord. Here are some reminders that might help us shake off Korsakoff's psychosis this Advent. We need to remind ourselves that it was God himself who was actually and physically born in Bethlehem centuries ago, and it is his birthday that we'll be celebrating in a few weeks. Jesus stirs our hearts as a little baby, but he comes to us that way to save us from our sins. Jesus will be with us forever, much longer than any flat screen TV or iPod or any holiday memory that we think will last. Jesus was born to show us how to live, and he came to die on the cross. And his name, Jesus, means Savior. The birth of the Christ child made all the difference in the world between a desperate existence of survival and a life full of meaning and purpose for every generation since that time. Advent is the time when St. John the Baptist is trying to get our attention and urge us to straighten out any of our relationships, our attitudes, and our actions that may be keeping us from having a deep and meaningful celebration on Christmas Day. While we work on any of these, a great thing to ponder is that God will never abandon us. Never. Never. Regardless of how crooked our ways may have been or may become. Like the loving parent that he is, he keeps calling us back to the straight path. In this time of strife and suffering in the world, our church gives us the season of Advent as a special time to hope and to pray for peace on earth. And it's a way for us to be part of it and moving toward peace in our own lives and our own homes. Over the next few weeks, let's remember that we will celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given to us from that stable in Bethlehem. Gift that was given to the world centuries ago is the gift that lies within each of us. God's own Son, God's love in the flesh. This is one Christmas gift that we can enjoy more fully if we are aware that we already possess it. This one gift is not labeled "Do not open for Christmas." In conclusion, the message for us is that if we prepare his way properly, Christmas can really be any day that we stop and remember that Jesus was born of us once, and he's with us forever after. So, wrap those gifts, decorate that tree, set up the manger. light those Advent candles and hold hands with everyone who you love and thank God for the gift of His Son on the first Christmas day. Remember that it's up to you and me to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen.
Thanks, Deacon Dan. We have some announcements this week. The first and, of course, the biggest announcement is Christmas is just around the corner. But there are many families who will find it difficult to make ends meet. If you'd like to help some of our own needy families during this holiday season, you can do so. Just contribute in a separate envelope marked Charity. All the money received will be used to help those in need. Now, this holiday season, the Sacrament of Reconciliation will be on Monday, December 18th, between 11 a.m. and noon. For Tuesday, December 19th, it will be 7 to 8 p.m. And then on Wednesday, December 20th, between 5 and 6 p.m. Finally, December 23rd, that's a Saturday, between 3 and 4 p.m. The Communal Sacrament of Reconciliation will be Friday, that's December 22nd. At 7 p.m. The Mass schedule will be Christmas Eve, 4:30, then again at 7:30 for the Children's Mass, and again at 11:30 for the Concert and the Midnight Mass. The Masses on Christmas Day will be at 7:45 a.m., 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 12 noon. If you'd like additional information on anything happening at St. Gregory, please feel free to stop by our website. That's at danbury.org/St. Greg. http://danbury.org/STGREG. St. Gregory the Great Parish wishes to welcome all visitors, members, and children who worship with us. We pray that worshiping with us will give you a sense of fellowship with Jesus and with us as God's people, as well as comfort and strength for all your needs. If you have no church of your own, we invite you to make this your home church. But above all, we invite you to come to worship anytime with us. Now, we've got a word from Vatican Radio.
Laudato Jesus Christus. This is Vatican Radio.
From the English News Desk, I'm Emma McCarthy. Here at the Vatican today, a very special press conference was held to outline the recent discovery of the sarcophagus containing the mortal remains of the Apostle Paul. Giorgio Filippi, the archaeologist and inscriptions expert at the Vatican Museums, has spent the last 11 years of his life studying the basilica complex of St. Paul's outside the walls. He says he is in no doubt that this is the tomb of St. Paul. The tomb, which lay hidden for centuries, lies directly beneath an altar inscription that reads, Paul, Apostle, Martyr. The marble sarcophagus, brought to light during recent excavations, contains the remains of the saint that was first placed beneath the altar during the reconstruction of the basilica in 390 AD, where it has lain hidden from sight and from memory for centuries. The decision to begin excavations in search of St. Paul's sarcophagus came about after pilgrims coming to St. Paul's for the Jubilee year asked for the burial place of the Apostle and were deeply disappointed not to see or touch it. Archbishop Andrea Cordero Lanza di Montezemolo is Archpriest of the Basilica. He outlined the spiritual importance of this discovery.
We knew that the tomb of St. Paul was there, but it was impossible to be seen by pilgrims. So we decided, we tried to open a window in order to see the side of the sarcophagus. That we could open a window about 70 centimeters wide and about 90 centimeters high, in order to have the possibility for the pilgrims who come to pray to see the side of the stone sarcophagus of St. Paul.
There is little doubt that after centuries in darkness, this discovery, this sarcophagus of St. Paul, will once again become a focal point for the faithful on their pilgrimage to the tombs of the apostles in Rome. I'm Emma McCarthy.
An outgoing United Nations Secretary General, Kofi Annan, has called for the violence in the Darfur region of the Sudan to end. Details on that story come from Vatican Radio.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan today urged the World Body's Human Rights Council to send a clear message that the nightmare of violence in Sudan's Darfur region has to stop. His comments come as the Council meets an emergency session today on the crisis. The Sudanese government has rejected plans for over 20,000 peacekeeping UN troops. Policy Director at the Save Darfur Coalition, Alex Meissner, spoke to us about Annan's comments.
I think it places the proper emphasis on this crisis. We've seen the Human Rights Council, since its inception, avoid this crisis, which the UN has previously called the worst humanitarian disaster in the world. So it's a very good thing that Annan is speaking up of this. You know, some initial action has been taken by the international community, but only at the rhetoric level. We believe that the international community as a whole cannot let one single member state veto the will of the UN.
And in other news, the Pope's 109-foot-tall Christmas tree has finally gotten into position at St. Peter's Square after bad weather and other problems delayed its arrival for more than a week. According to the Vatican statistics, the tree, which over the past 24 years has come from different European countries or regions of Italy, has never surpassed 105 feet. That makes this year's tree the absolute tallest. The tree will be decorated and finally lit on Christmas Eve. We've got some music now from Doug Bolt. Here We Come a Carolin' from the PodSafe Music Network. Music is from Doug Bolt, music.podshow.com, for this and other songs from Doug Bolt. And as we progress in Advent, we continue the traditions of lighting the candles to light the way to the birth of Jesus. Each day at home, the candles are lighted, perhaps before the evening meal, one candle the first week, and then another each succeeding week until December 25th. A short prayer may accompany the lighting. God, our Father, we remember your promise to send a Savior to us. As we light this candle, may the blessing of the promised Savior, Jesus Christ, come upon us, brighten our way, and guide us by his love and truth. May Christ, our Savior, bring life into the darkness of our world and to us as we await his coming. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, that's a word for this time. For the daily readings, listen at verbumdomini.com. It's one word, verbumdomini.com. If you're interested in morning and evening prayers, you can find those at PrayStation Portable. And on the web, you'll find that at sqpn.com. You can contact us, a word on the word, at gmail.com. spelled out as one word, a word on the word, at gmail.com. Links for this show and the show notes are also found at awordontheword.blogspot.com, and thank you for joining us. On behalf of St. Gregory the Great Parish, I'm Gregory Wencek. God bless, and peace be with you.